Good afternoon. Welcome to High Point Bible Study. It's good to see everybody here, and Merry Christmas to all. We've got a faithful attender for 11 years, Leon Talinda. Leon, wave at us. This is his last time for a while, okay? So give him a big hand for his faithfulness. Another casualty of the oil industry. We all feel your pain, Leon, and we're praying for you, all right, for God's next opportunity. I'm going to have a word of prayer. It's my privilege to introduce our speaker today, Pastor Greg Mott. Needs no introduction, one of those kind of things, but he is a senior pastor at Houston's First Baptist Church, author of three books and probably got another few in there. Going to be talking to you today about Christmas, something that's all on our hearts and minds. And just a reminder, the next three Wednesdays we will not meet. The next time we'll meet will be the second Wednesday in January because of the holiday schedule. So again, Merry Christmas to all. Happy New Year to everyone. We'll look forward to seeing you back in January. Let's pray and bless the food. Father, thank you so much for Pastor Greg, his life, his ministry, his unbelievable teaching gifts. Father, prepare our hearts and minds now as we want to absorb the things that you have for us today. I pray blessings on the food, our fellowship. I pray especially for Leon today as he's reaching out to see what's next, and Rick Bell is facing an uncertain future. And we lift these two guys up, so faithful to High Point, and we pray blessings upon them right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Well, what a joy to be with y'all. It's so good to have y'all all together, get a little barbecue. It's always great at High Point because it tests like my speaking gymnastics as a speaker, because I eat barbecue and then I talk for 30 minutes. That's like a really challenge on my speaking gymnastics of my body here to be able to do that, but it's good stuff to be able to go. So here's the deal with Christmas. One of the things that we love about Christmas is the gifts of Christmas, right? That's an enjoyable thing. And as you get older, you actually do more purchasing of gifts than you do the receiving of gifts, it seems like, which is good. That's fun. It's good to be able to give. It's better to give than to receive. Well, when you watch all the commercials, you see these gifts that are a lot of times gifts that don't show up at our house, but it's fun to see the commercials. One of my favorite commercials, it seems like it's a Lexus commercial every year, that somebody walks out. That's your favorite commercial. Are you going to get one this year, you think? I don't think I'm going to get one either. I might get some things with L's on it, you know, with an L somewhere in the word, but that's about it. So the person walks out, you know the deal. It's a beautiful man, it's a beautiful woman in a beautiful house that has never been touched. Everything's clean. And they walk out into this snowy day. Could anything be more opposite than Houston, right? So walk out in this snowy day, and there's this Lexus with this big bow over it for the December to remember month that's there. And so it's this huge surprise, right? Every kiss begins with K, right? There's this big surprise. Then we'll see a ton, and these are a whole lot of fun. We'll see these gifts. There'll be soldiers that'll come back, and the kid will open up the present in the room there at their classroom, and dad will jump out, you know, of the present or come around the door. There'll be all these surprises that happen, and hopefully you and I will have some prizes under the tree as well, which will be a great thing. Now, it might not be a Lexus, may not be a soldier coming home. You know, if you have one in your family like that, it'd be great to be able to do that. It might not be every kiss begins with K with a diamond happening, but hopefully there'll be some surprises under the tree for all of us. And the thing that's great about that is we as humans, we love surprises. It's exciting. It's good. But as we grow older, our surprises begin to be things that we actually fear more than things we actually want, right? Surprise! You know, oh, I didn't want that. So we begin to kind of a little bit dread surprises going in, maybe more than we do welcome surprises. Well, I want to show you a passage of scripture in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 20 that we'll put up on the screens and we'll read. And it'll be talking about the surprise of the shepherds, okay? So this is the basic Christmas story, the most traditional Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, verses 8. And here we have, I'll just read it off the screen. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Can you see surprise in this? They're out there just minding their own business at night, and then here comes an angel of the Lord. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people today. A Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. Three names that Jesus gets: Savior, Messiah, Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough. Suddenly, do you see surprise in that? Suddenly, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts, not just one angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on peace and peace on earth to his people he favors. And when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said one to one another, let's go straight, automatically, let's do it right now. Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, for the Lord has made known to us. They hurried off and they found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. And after seeing them, they reported the message that they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And then this verse 19, ladies, I think is a great, great celebration of womanhood almost in this. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart. Ladies, y'all do such a good job of pondering the deep things, treasuring up these things in her heart and meditating on them, thinking about them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. So here's what we have. These shepherds are out in the fields, minding their business, and watching their flocks by night, and then an angel of the Lord shows up, and then a multitude of angels show up. Then the next thing you know, they're in Bethlehem, and now they're standing before Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Surprise! What an amazing thing. The shepherds were surprised. Now here's what happens in our life. A lack of surprise, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. A lack of surprise brings a lack of passion. A lack of surprise brings a lack of passion. Now think about in your marriage, or maybe you're previously married, or maybe you want to be married one day, whatever the category you're in. A lot of times what happens in marriage, I've been married almost 20 years, will be 20 years in August. What happens is you get into the mundane of marriage, don't you? And there's no more surprises. If anything, there's predictability. That's why the Bible says keep no records of wrong. Because you know exactly how that husband's going to respond when something turns out, don't you? You know exactly how that wife's going to respond. So we begin to, hopefully you don't do this, but we kind of hide that expense. We hope they don't see the credit card. We know how they're going to respond when we bought this or we did this. And the lack of surprise begins to be the mundane in our life. And the mundane begins to be actually a decline in our marriage and a decline in what we're doing. Think about what happens in the workplace. Some of you have been doing a job for a long, long time. Sometimes it gets boring, doesn't it? There gets to be a lack of surprise, and we start getting restless, going, well, I need to do something new. I want to be able to do this. We end up having a middle-aged crazy moment because there's lack of surprise in our life, and we all of a sudden start pulling out of some things that we shouldn't be pulling out of. This one man put it like this. I thought this was a great quote. Love withers with predictability. Its very essence is surprise and amazement. To make love a prisoner of the mundane is to take its passion and lose it forever. Isn't that amazing? Love withers with predictability. Its very essence is surprise and amazement. I love the way that Jesus burst on the scene. He burst on the scene with surprise and amazement. The heavens are filled with the angels. That's amazing, isn't it? It's surprising in that dark night. And here's what we've got to know with a relationship with Jesus Christ. God wants to surprise us. God wants us to be amazed with him. God wants us to have anticipation, Advent, going into Christmas. Not just, okay, we're going to do the turkey, and Aunt so-and-so is going to bring the green beans, and so-and-so is going to do the rolls, and I'm going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do the same thing with the same table, with the same stuff, with the same people complaining about the same things, and we're just going to hope that this thing's over so we can just watch the same football teams play a football game, right? Isn't it funny with football? I was thinking the other day, I was watching football, I was like, you know, you could have, like, put in a game of, like, 7 years ago, and I think I could be watching it, not know it. It looks just the same. You know, and I love football. It's good, but I don't know any of these players. I'm not sure which team's the good team or the bad. It's just press play. Man, let this year have a surprise in it. Surprise somebody with an encouragement word. Surprise somebody with kindness. Surprise somebody with a gift. Surprise somebody with a note. Surprise somebody with a prayer. Surprise somebody and be surprised by what God wants to do in your life. True surprise brings true passion. But true surprise brings something else. Did you notice what the shepherds did? They heard the word, the Lord, the Savior, the Messiah is born in Bethlehem. And then it said, and then they went straight away to Bethlehem to go and see this child, right? True surprise brings passion, but true surprise also brings investigation. True surprise brings investigation. Whenever you're surprised by something, you begin to investigate it. And that what happens around the tree? You get something, you go, what? Are you kidding me? Look at this. And you start checking it out from all different angles, which is a great thing to be able to do. My son, we're going to have some investigation. I'll tell you, we've got two really good surprise gifts. So if you bump into my kids, please don't tell them. my son's getting a drone. We're going to buy him a drone, which is, you know, fly up in the air drone, not like I am a drone. You know, like, so, and it's, what's really good is I have a brother-in-law that's like totally into technology stuff, like to the nth degree. So I just buy his used stuff. So this is my brother-in-law's drone at half price. So it's awesome. I guess I'll tell my son that. I should probably be honest. So we'll get that. And I found out yesterday, surprise to me, I've got to register this thing with the FAA, you know. So we must have bought a good one. but, man, my son's going to be surprised, and he's going to investigate everything on this thing. And we're going to be out crashing it into trees and investigating how to operate this thing. True surprise brings investigation. My daughter is 8 years old. She's watched Soul Surfer literally 25 or 30 times. Loves Bethany Hamilton. We like to go down to Galveston on occasion, and so we bought her a surfboard. So she's getting a surfboard, which is kind of a cool thing. It's like a soft one, not a, like a fiberglass one, but that is one. She is going to want to investigate that surfboard, and it's going to be way too cold to investigate it in the water. And I bet you this, I bet you it's going to be in her room for the next 4 or 5 months as she just looks at it every single day and ponders these things in her heart, like Mary. So we're going to have this amazing surprise. It's going to bring investigation, which is going to be good. They ran to a totally different city. They ran to Bethlehem, which means house of bread. That's what Bethlehem means, to investigate this Savior that was born. So I ask you this question as we just kind of take a time out. Your personal walk with Christ, is there a place of passion, or is it just mundane? I go to church. This is what I do. This is what I don't do. Or are you like, you know what? This scripture, this is new to me. This is great. I got a new worship CD. I listen to a new message. I'm podcasting something else. I'm listening to that webcast. I'm doing something new in my life. I find that my life can get in a rut spiritually. Here's true confessions of a pastor. I spend a lot of time in the Bible. I'm around the things of God a lot, right? And I can become a banker with $100 or a jeweler with diamonds and forget the value of these things that I handle every day. So sometimes I got to mix it up to be able to let that surprise come back so that my investigation goes deeper. If you don't have a deep passion, you won't have deep investigation. Why do we want to find out everything we want to know about our dating life, our dating partner? Because there's passion there and there's investigation. I want to find out more. And then 20 years in, you're like, honey, I've heard it all before. That story has gotten really old. You know, I mean, because there's not as much passion in that. We've got to get that passion going back up. We've got to investigate a new town, if you will. Do you know that there's cities in our country that are named Surprise? There's a Surprise, Arizona. There's a Surprise, Indiana. There's a Surprise, Nebraska. There's a Surprise, New York. There's a Surprise Station, California. These cities are named Surprise. That'd be fun to live in a town called Surprise. It'd probably get boring. Isn't that weird? What an oxymoron. So, surprise, they go and they see this fulfillment of this, the Jesus baby being born. Now, as we think about surprise one more notch, when they get there, there's Jesus in the manger. There's Mary and there's Joseph. Was Christ being born in that manger a surprise to God? No. It was actually a fulfillment of a plan. It's a fulfillment of a plan. Do you know that Christ is all throughout the Old Testament? He's prophesied 300 different ways, the prophecy of Christ. You could look in Micah chapter 2 and find that Bethlehem is the place that Jesus was prophesied to be born. Little bitty town, but prophesied to be born. You could read in Psalm 22, it's talking about the crucifixion of Christ. And that before 700 years, I think before crucifixion was invented, it was already talking about Jesus being crucified. You could look in Isaiah 53 and find the crucifixion as well in that place. You can find all these things throughout the scripture, but Jesus was born on that in that time, that place, at that moment as a fulfillment. Just in the way that the society was formed, at that moment when he was born, they had roads that would go all throughout the Roman kingdom, the Roman territories, and Jesus came, it says in Galatians, at the exact time he should come. so that then the word could go out. It was perfect timing. Here's my point. A surprise to one is a fulfillment of a plan to another, right? A surprise to one is a fulfillment of a plan to another. I just told you my plan for Christmas morning with my children. My fulfilled plan is going to be a surprise to them. Now, take great heart in this. God's fulfilled plan, what he's wanting to fulfill in the Christmas story, is a surprise to the shepherds. Surprise to Mary a bit as well, I mean, months before, but a surprise to her. Surprise to Joseph, had to be woken up in a dream by an angel to say, don't divorce Mary. Surprise to the wise men who see a star, but an exact fulfillment of God in his plan. Now let's take that home. What happens in your life may be a surprise to you, but it is a part of the plan of God. I'm not talking about when other people's sin surprises us. That's not a part of the plan of God, okay? So asterisk on that. But when things happen in our lives, we could say, okay, Lord, this is a place where your plan, I'm going to trust that your plan is there. A planned purchase begins to be a surprise to somebody else. And Christmas is screaming out from creation to Christmas, God has a plan. Adam and Eve blew it, and everybody else blew it from Adam and Eve on. Jesus showed up because everybody's going to blow it from then on too. But he showed up to be the Savior and the forgiveness of our sins so that we could trust in him and he could live in our hearts as Savior. That's the fulfillment of the plan of God. And that's an amazing, amazing thing. What presents do you have underneath the tree that they're wrapped up? Nobody knows, but you know what they are. What are you thinking about right now that I need to call so-and-so, I need to write so-and-so a card, I need to give them a present, whatever it is, and that surprise that's going to be able to be there. Surprises in life are going to bring one of two things. Surprises in life either bring concern or gratitude. We talked about that at the beginning, do you remember? As an adult, surprises in life bring concern. Have you ever done this? Somebody calls you, and it's maybe somebody higher up in the organization than you, and they say, hey, could I talk to you for a few moments? What do you think? Your stomach drops, doesn't it? Oh, no. We never assume, you know, I bet I'm getting a raise. I bet they finally noticed that I am the man. That's probably it. We don't really just swagger into that. We assume the worst. Here's what I do is kind of the boss of the church, is pastor, is this is what I have to do. Hey, can I talk to you for a few moments? It's all good. That's what I have to end it on. Because if not, there's some of the folks that'll freak out for, you know, 4 hours on what I want to talk to them about. Hey, could you, I have to begin at the thing this. I'm not upset about this. I was just wondering, boom, 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 boom. Because if I just put in, I was just wondering, why you're a dummy. No, I wouldn't put that. But you've got to kind of do that because the older we get, surprise means bad, right? The doctor says, hey, can you come back next week? No. It's not a good thing. And that's true in a lot of ways. I get it. Surprise brings concern. Or surprise can bring great gratitude. The story, let me say this, is going to sound different. Jesus coming to planet Earth brings both for the human being. Jesus coming to planet Earth brings both concern and gratitude. Now, you would think I would just go preacher talk on you and say, oh, it's just gratitude. We should all be grateful. It's the Savior of the world. It's great. Yes, we'll get that in a minute. But he also brings concern. What does it mean that God wants to have a relationship with me? That's a little concerning to me at times, right? What does it mean that a sinless one named Jesus, God and man together, that he's going to live a sinless life? That concerns me that that's God's standard. That's a little concerning. What does it mean when Jesus says, follow me as I'm following the Lord, and that we're supposed to walk in the footsteps of Christ? That concerns me. What does it mean when he says, it's better to give than receive? I like receiving, right? What does it mean when it says, what does a man gain the whole world? And what does a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? I like when my retirement account goes up. And my wallet has a little bit more in it. That's concerning, isn't it? What does it mean when give all to the poor? That's concerning. So there's these points that we've got to be honest. When I see the life of Christ and I see our typical lives, it's concerning. What does it mean that God wants to have a relationship with me? There's a place of concern that's there. And that's a healthy concern. Verse of scripture in the Bible, it says, don't build the tower until you've counted the cost. And those places of concern are those moments. So Jesus on planet Earth to have a relationship with us concerns us. What does that mean? What will that require of me? What will that change about my life? How will I have to operate differently? Where will that kind of sand my heart in a good way ultimately, but in a difficult way? That's a concerning thing. Surprises bring concerns. What does it mean that God loves you and wants to be involved in your life? Okay. But they bring gratitude as well. Surprises bring gratitude. And here's what I've found just in my personal life. As I've grown in the Lord over these years, about 30 years now, I became a Christian when I was 16. Grew up right here in Houston. I was really concerned about a lot of things. And here's what I found. That the things that I was concerned about, when I released it to the Lord, they became the things that I was most grateful about on the other side. Let me explain. When I was 16 years old, teenager, what's number one importance in your life? Number one for me, at least, was what do people think of me? What are friendships about? You know, am I with the cool crowd? What's the deal? So friendships and peer pressure and all those things, that's a number one for teenagers. So I was so scared that when I became a Christian, that when I trusted Jesus as my Savior, that I was going to lose all my friends because I was running with the whole party crowd and all that sort of stuff, and I was going to lose all my friends. I was so scared of that. Let me tell you what I'm most grateful for in my life, one of the things I'm most grateful for. I got the greatest friends in the world. I got the greatest friends in the world. I love my friends. They're amazing people. You know, and all those people that didn't like me just because I didn't get drunk anymore. I mean, what was our friendship based on? Hello, right? You only like me when I'm drunk? That's a problem, right? I'm no fun sober, you know? I mean, this is bad deal. So let it be. I'm grateful for that. Grateful for that. Then I started to go through this time. I was a marketing major, a business major in college, and I was be a Christian businessman, and that's great. That's what most of y'all, or something like that type of thing. And I gave that up to then get into vocational ministry. Wah, wah, wah. I mean, how lame can you get, right? I mean, now I'm going to be a preacher and a pastor and poor, and nobody's going to invite me to Christmas anymore because, I mean, because when you show up as a pastor, it's like the party killer of party killers, right? I mean, who wants that guy there, right? People are going to call me father, and I'm in my 20s, and I'm not even Catholic, and I mean, this is just terrible. And I've wasted all this education. My parents are going to be mad at me. My dad is Catholic, so he's really going to be ticked. But if I become a priest, my mom's going to be mad because we don't have grandchildren anymore. And so, like, now, great, I'm stuck in this whole thing. What do I do with this? Just pray. Sing the Our Father one more time. Yeah, I mean, what do you do? So I was so worried, and so I had this concern of vocation, and then I gave it over to the Lord, and man, I wouldn't want to be anything else. And I hope even as you see me in these little spots, you're like, that's what you're supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I was made for. Yes. And the gratitude came after the surrender that came after the concern. So what happens? So I'm concerned. It was when I was single and was concerned, will I ever get married? Well, I'm ever going to find the right girl? Everybody else keeps finding the right girl. I don't find the right girl. I'm always going to the wedding and never in the wedding as the groom. What's the deal? And that concern had to step into surrender. Then that surrender turns into gratitude of saying, Lord, you know what? Even when I was single, you're more than enough. And then now that I'm married 20 years in, praise the Lord for that. And Kelly, and she's a great, great woman. So do you see the process in this? Shepherds are concerned on the mountainside. They're surprised. They surrender their plans by leaving the mountainside and their sheep, and they go to Bethlehem. And then they bow in great gratitude to the Savior of the world. Surprises bring concern. Surprises bring gratitude. And what I want to submit to you right there in the middle is giving that over to the Lord is the hinge that changes the two. So here's the question. Will your Christian life be lived in the framework of concern? Oh, what does God want me to do? Oh, I don't have time to pray. Oh, the Bible's such a hard book. Oh, what church should I go to? Oh, I don't want to give. Oh, I don't want to serve. Oh, don't ask me to pray. Lord, this is yours. This is crazy. What am I doing? I'm neurotic in the Lord. I surrender it to you. Father, thank you for prayer. Thank you that I can bless somebody else. Thank you that there's churches all over this city that welcome me, whether I've been there or not been there. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I don't understand everything. I don't understand everything. I've been studying it and got a master's in it. It's a tough book. I don't understand it all, but I'm grateful that Jesus, I know you, and I love you. See, the joy of Christmas is the combination of the familiar things that we have in our life and the surprising things we have in our life. Isn't that what Christmas really is? It's concern, gratitude, but it's Christmas when you think about around that table. There's something great about those same ornaments going on the tree. We're putting ornaments on our tree. There's some of the ornaments I had when I was a kid. I made them. We're putting them on the tree, the familiar. And then there's the surprise of what's under the tree. Here's what God wants from you and I as we wrap this thing up. He wants you to be so, so familiar with him as your best friend. So, so familiar with his word even. It's like, you know what? That's a good verse on that. So familiar with prayer that it just rolls off your tongue and you don't even realize it. Sometimes I'm driving the car and I just go, man, Jesus, I'll just say, Jesus, I just pray that you, and my kid's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, he's praying, you know. Familiar, but then at the same time, so surprising that God has something for you in your life. If I could just run us through where we've been, a lack of surprise brings a lack of passion. A lack of surprise brings a lack of investigation. So let's be passionate and let's be investigative of what God has. Surprise brings concern, but if we take our concern and we submit it to the Lord, it will bring gratitude. And then lastly, there's a combination of the familiar and the surprising that come together. And that's what makes it something special. So, you're probably not going to walk out this Christmas to the driveway and have a Lexus with a bow on it. And if you are, then you should be really grateful because we're mad at you, okay? We're not. That's great. That's awesome. I better not have a new car. I'm going to actually be mad if my wife buys me a new car over Christmas. That's going to have totally blown the budget. But to be able to see that, but here's what the thing is. God's got bows on things for you that are better than Lexuses. He's got things for you that are better than anything you can have on planet Earth. And my hope for you is that if you don't really know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you never trusted him, ask one of us today. We'd love to tell you what that means. We won't force you into anything. Just tell you what that means. Think about what it means to know Christ personally. If you do know Christ personally and you've placed your faith and trust in him as your Savior, then walk out this together with him of concern and surprise, concern and gratitude, and let him bring greater surrender in your life. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are amazing and so good. We don't live in surprise Arizona. We don't live in surprise Indiana, Nebraska, or New York. But Lord, we want to live in a place of surprise with you, that you would show us new things about yourself. We would discover new things this Christmas about you. And Lord, we just thank you, God. As adults, surprises are usually to the negative, Lord. And we just want to surrender that to you and surrender our concern and just give it to you. And ask you, Jesus, that we would grow in you and be familiar with you, but walk with you in such a great way that you would be surprising to us as well and fresh and new. In Jesus' name, amen.